Good morning. This is Dave McBride, formerly of the Murphy in the Morning and Steve Dahl shows, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning. Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for January 18th, 2022. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Jack Frost.
We're just a couple of guys staying cool, thinking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Jack Frost, you should probably check your local weather in North Carolina, huh?
Steve, we're expecting up to 2 inches of snow as of this recording. Up to. A little bit of ice, Steve.
Oh,
but
boy.
There's a chance it could be rain. But let me just be very blunt about it. We've all gone to the grocery store, and the grocery store needs to be restocked.
So they put the beet juice down on the streets? Is that what happens in North Carolina?
They started Wednesday preparing for this.
They wanted
to make sure we had plenty of time to make it all work, Steve. Plenty of time.
Oh, the South. Let me explain about snow, you Southerners.
Well, we're surrounded by buffalo people. So they get to smile and snicker about this.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter, Steve, because we've got just enough snow equipment to get to you, maybe a couple of days from now. It is so different than in Chicago, where you get like, I don't know, you get like 10 inches of snow and they've cleaned the roads and you have to be on work in time.
Yeah.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Boy, oh boy, Chip, we have been seeing some very interesting, kind of smaller presentations this week.
In fact, that's going to be the theme for our movies this week, is that everything's on a little smaller scale right now, mm-hmm. because COVID's still here. And what is going to show up at the theater? What are we going to be able to watch? Well, I got to watch MLK/FBI, which was released last year at this time, or was it this year? Yeah, it's really hard to tell because... last year, this was, everything was, we're still kind of dealing with COVID. But this is really a fascinating documentary. You certainly can rent it. It is based on declassified files. And this is the FBI's files that eventually make their way, unless you're named JFK, to the public so that everyone can talk a little bit about, the surveillance that J. Edgar Hoover and his staff did on Martin Luther King. Hmm. So it is a biography kind of about Martin Luther King a little bit, and it also is a little bit on the FBI and how they interact.
So is this intriguing new information, these declassified files?
Well, I think what is most interesting about it is that if you have a person in the government, J. Edgar Hoover, who decides that you are a person of interest, then your life can be reviewed. Mm. And what we also really need to kind of accept is Martin Luther King was a flawed person, mm-hmm. just like George Washington was a flawed person, just like someone like Thomas Jefferson or James Madison.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, maybe a few. Maybe Bill Clinton a little bit. In fact, did you see that? Maybe Hillary Clinton may try again, Steve. Yeah, you never know.
Martin Luther King was a flawed human. He did have his flaws, and the FBI was trying to surveil and make sure that they knew everything about this man, and they found out some of his secrets for sure.
Well, one of the things that I liked was the interactions Martin Luther King had with our government. I mean, he certainly created a movement. Mm-hmm. And the movement was, of its time, certainly was very important and part of the fabric that makes American history. John F. Kennedy actually had a meeting with him. They walked around the Rose Garden And John F. Kennedy had to talk to him about one of Martin Luther King's inner circle, who was part of the Communist Party. And if you think back at that time, you know, think of what was going on with the Cuban Missile Crisis, any number of things like that. You know, we're at not peak Cold War, but certainly, you know, we could be at war at any moment. And so this was something that was very much on the mind of the federal government. And so Martin Luther King, it looks like, removed that person from his inner circle. He eventually won the Nobel Peace Prize. That made J. Edgar Hoover angry, because when I say Martin Luther King was a human and, you know, has his flaws like every other human, mm-hmm. Martin Luther King had girlfriends. And that seemed to be something that ran against the grain of J. Edgar Hoover, who had his own unique
flaws. Grain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. J. Edgar Hoover.
So, I mean, I don't know where this ultimately goes. What you immediately see is that certainly race relations from the founding of our country up till now are certainly light years better. Mm-hmm. They certainly can improve, and they're going to continue to improve. And this was just one of the data points in the movement to where we all receive the liberty that we want to experience in life. We certainly are wonderful in the sense that we have a society that allows this, but you easily can see how quickly, you cannot help but just compare this to what the Nazis did, mm-hmm. the National Socialists in Germany, and how that kind of worked. So anyway, I need to give this a rating. Let's just say 55 out of 100. It's interesting. Okay.
It ties directly into my film that I watched this week. If I can skip ahead, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
It ties directly into the film that I watched this week, which is incredibly eye-opening. This is called Camp Confidential, America's Secret Nazis. This is on Netflix, and it is a short. It's 35 minutes long, but it is the story of some declassified files that came to light in 2006 that showed us that there was a secret POW camp near Washington, D.C. at the height of World War II. And that POW camp was full of Nazis. And the American government tapped some Jewish refugees who had joined the army to be the guards of these Nazis in this POW camp. And the story of these boys, and I mean boys, guarding these Nazis and trying to get information from them and hiding their absolute hatred of these men. This is an amazing documentary, an amazing piece of information to come to light.
So I need to just ask a question. They were aware, the Jewish people who were, they were refugees, right? They were serving as representatives of the U.S. Army, but they were refugees, mm-hmm. and they were aware of the atrocities that were the German people were doing to.
Yes, these were German,
and they Jews. were being asked to guard these German POWs, these Nazis.
More than guard, make friends with them to get information from them. This was a recon operation as much as a guarding operation. And that's heartrending to think of what these boys did to get information from these Nazis.
What a fascinating story. What ultimately did you learn from this?
The idea of espionage, the idea of finding information, and the idea of secrecy come to the forefront in this story. The fact that these men, who two of them are still living and are interviewed for this documentary, the fact that these men kept this secret from everyone, including their family, up until the declassification of these documents in 2006 is fascinating to me. The emotion that they tell these stories with, that the hate that they felt for these men, but knowing that they had to befriend them in order to get what they needed informationally is it's unthinkable.
Well, these are top scientists, German scientists, this leads in probably to Project Paperclip that eventually mm-hmm. will yes. bring the rockets to technology to the United States.
Yes, because one of them was Wernher von Braun. Okay. And he was the German scientist who brought rocketry and ultimately brought Americans to the moon. And that's all tied to this story, yes.
Fascinating. This looks very interesting. Steve, is there anything else you saw this week?
I did delve into a couple of Black Lives Matter. Netflix has a whole category called Black Lives Matter Collection. And we watched a couple of films that really delve into race relations in the United States. The first one is called See You Yesterday. This is a time travel story about two young Brooklyn prodigies who build a time machine and use it to try to save one of the character's brothers from police violence in Brooklyn. This is a very deep story about how we can help, what we can do and what we can't do, and where we are with race relations and police violence.
What makes it so fascinating to me is on the surface, you've got a time machine, but you're not going back to, you know, discover some, you know, we're going to go back and see the dinosaurs. You're going to go back a few years to try to save your brother.
Days. This is See You Yesterday. This is they only have the power to go back a few days, and they choose to try to save this one person, and it doesn't work out well. I'll go ahead and spoil it for you. The message of it is there's only so much we can do. There's only so much power we have, even if we are the smartest two kids in Brooklyn.
Would you recommend this?
I recommend this to those of you who are struggling with your degree of control in this COVID time, those of you who are struggling with the idea of race relations and police in our United States nowadays, I would recommend this, especially if you like silly time travel.
Steve, that was not the only film you got to see this week.
Yeah, another one popped up after that called American Son. This is a very emotional stage play that Netflix has filmed featuring Kerry Washington and Stephen Pasquale. This is an estranged couple reuniting in a police station in Florida, trying to find their missing teenage son. It only has four characters, the two parents and two police officers, and the desperation to try to find this boy and the desperation of trying to find information in an emergency situation. Beautiful, well-acted, strong emotion in this one. I would hesitate to suggest this one to anyone who's not emotionally prepared to think about what their sons or daughters, their teenagers are doing outside of the home. It's pretty strong.
And you also got to see a television series.
Yeah, my wife, I don't even know how she got to this, but she watched every episode of For the People. This was a TV show that was on ABC from 2018 to 2019, 20 episodes, 20 one-hour court procedurals. The Southern District of New York federal court, lawyers on one side, the prosecution, and lawyers on the other side, the defense, and how they put together their cases. And I have to highlight the way that the speeches are written in the courtroom scenes, the closing arguments for these episodes, every one of these 20 episodes, beautiful, beautiful speeches that are really hard hitting. I would recommend going back in time and watching For the People.
All right. And I got to see Encanto, which is a film that you reviewed a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I did want to say that I really like this. I do think that it's really hard to, yeah, most people are not going to go to a Disney film and not enjoy themselves. I'm going to say 60 out of 100, and certainly an interesting film. And it reminded us of a certain producer that we have, Steve.
Yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda's music is definitely right there at the forefront of Encanto. We watched that one again this week, Chip, because that film has become like the conversation in my circle. We can't stop talking about this movie, and we can't stop talking about Bruno.
Bruno?
That's the song. The song is We Don't Talk About Bruno.
Okay. Well, okay. So We Don't Talk About Bruno. This is certainly a very interesting story about a young woman who doesn't think she has a special gift, but that gift of listening, of being able to give comfort, that ability to help others, mm-hmm. And also to recognize the stresses that others experience. Steve, that is a special, special gift. And certainly everyone deserves a friend that can do that for them.
I suggest Encanto as strongly as I could suggest a film. Everybody that hasn't seen this should sit down and watch it.
It's on Disney Plus. Steve, we talked about some films that you should see, and then we've got some films that are coming out this week.
It is certainly a thin list of films that are being released this week. There's some that got moved on the schedule and some that are coming out just because they need to come out eventually. The first one is called Redeeming Love. This is the story of a child sold into prostitution who grows up and finds true love and redemption.
All right, so if that's out there, let's go back to the Harlequin romances.
We've got The King's Daughter. This is the latest film from Pierce Brosnan, and he plays Louis the 14th, and he's got a mermaid.
Well, that's going for him. Steve, there's a horror film during World War II.
World War II horror film called War Hunt. This is a Mickey Rourke film, Chip. Do you love looking at Mickey Rourke?
Steve, they usually show Mickey Rourke across the football field, across the basketball court. There's not a lot of close-ups of Mickey Rourke anymore.
Just try not to mumble these lines, okay, Mickey? Yeah, that's good.
How about something for the kids?
There is a adaptation of a book called The Tiger Rising coming to our theaters this week. This features Dennis Quaid and Queen Latifah.
It takes place in Florida. Does it star Carol Baskins?
I knew you were going to come up with a Tiger King reference on this one.
There's a husband missing, Steve.
Yes, this is a young boy who discovers a caged tiger in the woods near his home in Florida, and Carol Baskins comes out with anchovies. Yes,
that's right. Somewhere near Orlando. All right, Steve, we've had some fun with the movies coming out. There's at least one streaming series that may have some interest.
Yeah, there's Peacemaker that actually came out last week, and I've heard a lot of chatter about this. It's on HBO Max. It is the spinoff series from The Suicide Squad, where John Cena gets to play Peacemaker, and there's been a lot of chatter about this. He is definitely a different kind of superhero. I have heard some of our friends describing him as the Archie Bunker of superheroes, the character that we're not supposed to like, but certain people might actually enjoy what he's saying instead of understanding that it's a satire on their thinking. So I've heard great things about Peacemaker.
Well, you know, it looks like Watchmen still has its influence on a lot of stuff. So anyway, that's on HBO Max. Certainly worthy of checking out.
Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week, you know. We have been reading a lot of mysteries in the last year or so. We got into sandwiches at irregular hours and read all of those Sherlock Holmes stories. And then we read Agatha Christie's Poirot's Christmas at Christmas time. So I keep going with the mysteries. You're trying to engage my mind in something other than reality.
We had Victorian. We had a little bit of the turn of the century. Is there something about the South, Steve? About a Southern rider.
Yes, Chip. Finally, the South will rise again. It's While Justice Sleeps is the name of the book that I read this week by Stacey Abrams. This just came out. It is a New York Times bestseller. Stacey Abrams, you might know as a politician in the United States. She ran for governor of Georgia, and on December 1st, 2021, she announced that she will run again for the governorship in Georgia. She is one of those up-and-coming politicians that I've been paying a lot of attention to.
Well, that sounds fine and dandy, Steve, but that's not the reason you really like her.
No, not at all. That is not, it's nothing to do with politics. She's a lawyer by training. She's an author. And most importantly, Chip, she's a Whovian. She is a fan of Doctor Who. She was on David Tennant's podcast last year. And I was like, oh, I've heard of Stacey Abrams. Isn't she a politician of some sort? And David Tennant, one of the doctors, just gave this wonderful interview with Stacey Abrams. And she is now like the poster child for politics in our household, because okay, I will listen to just about anything she has to say because she likes Doctor Who.
Well, there you go. Well, you gotta have criteria, Steve. If you're gonna vote for someone, you have to have criteria. Well, so tell us a little bit about While Justice Sleeps, Steve.
Yeah, this is an intriguing concept that Stacey Abrams came up with years ago. She wrote this book before her political career and put it on the shelf, and everybody told her that she should publish it. And she kept saying, no, I don't think it's good enough. I don't think I should publish it. The central idea of While Justice Sleeps is the fact that in the U.S. Constitution, there is no word on what happens if a justice of the Supreme Court is incapacitated. If they die, we know that we replace them. There's a whole litany of things that needs to happen when a justice dies. But if they're not dead, but they're incapacitated, they cannot do the job, there's nothing in the Constitution that says what should be done. And Stacey Abrams took that idea and built this whole incredible puzzle of a mystery around this one justice in her story.
So this is my outside knowledge of this. You're correct. My assumption is they would continue to hold office. They wouldn't be able to do anything until they pass. But one of the arguments that was brought up in the last book from last week that we reviewed was that there is a movement, and I say movement, to limit a Supreme Court justice's term to 18 years. So that's not the case as of today. You basically serve a lifetime. But the idea is that you would have 4 years for president, you have 2 years for a U.S. rep, you have 6 years for a senator, you would have 18 for a Supreme Court justice. That's not the case today, but once again, that's something that is being talked about.
It's an intriguing concept because those justices certainly have power. They are powerful to be able to make these decisions on issues that we haven't been able to resolve any other way. But at the same time, we want them to be those elders, that council of elders that says, we believe that this is the best choice for the situation.
Well, they're basically looking at case law. They're trying to determine whether Congress is supposed to make the laws. Mm-hmm. The executive branch enforces those laws. The Supreme Court determines whether those laws are if it gets to them, whether they're just or not, whether they fall under legal standing or not.
Right.
They're basically the reviewer of those laws. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
So this is a gripping thriller. The central character, the Supreme Court justice, falls into a coma. I don't want to spoil anything, but he is incapacitated and he writes papers, very, very specific papers, giving a young law clerk his power of attorney. She is, for all intents and purposes, going to keep him alive or decide that he should be taken off of life support because he has a deep and secret dark history that he needs revealed.
are you suggesting that this book is saying that this law clerk is acting in place of this Supreme Court justice, that they are writing papers on behalf of this Supreme Court justice who is in a coma state?
Not in the law sense, not in the Supreme Court role, but as his guardian. She is in charge of his medical condition and all of his finances.
Okay.
So she is given certain pieces of information through his lawyer that he has written papers that are going to reveal certain truths about the U.S. government. And she has to go through a Dan Brown-style investigation, crossing different state lines to find the information, to solve the puzzle, to get the information out that he was not able to tell the world. The justice has knowledge of a conspiracy of a medical treatment that has been produced that unethically tested on humans. And he is giving this information to this law clerk to spread this information so that they can stop this conspiracy. This is, in my opinion, a great mystery on the level of, again, Dan Brown's running around Paris and solving these puzzles. She has so many different pieces that she needs to travel around and find the answers to get this data to send it off into the public knowledge. And of course, she has to be concerned about the justice. This man
sounds like WikiLeaks in many ways.
I wonder if that was part of the idea behind Stacey Abrams' writing of this story. This is a mystery. If you are looking for a gripping thriller of a mystery set in the Supreme Court, sort of, this is a great book. That's While Justice Sleeps. It was published in 2021 by Stacey Abrams.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. What's going on in the world, Chip?
Steve, there's good news. There's good news.
Good news, everyone.
The U.S. government on the January 19th will start sending you out free COVID tests. You can get your, you can get the rapid coronavirus test, and you can have it sent to you, and it will take 7 to 12 days. So instead of the 3 days that would normally take, 7 to 12 days.
Okay.
You can go to covidtest.gov. Although they think it's, you know, it starts on January 19th, it's unlikely to really start until the end of the month. But you know what? Good news, Steve.
Well, it's, I don't know about you, but I have a few at-home COVID tests here at the house just in case one of us falls sick and we can test ourselves quickly. This is the rapid test, which is not exactly the most perfect test. The PCR seems to be the more accurate test, but it would at least relieve a little bit of anxiety if you tested negative so that you can think maybe I have a cold instead of COVID. And that sense of relief is palpable.
Well, there you go. Actually, that's a great idea, Steve.
It is a great idea to have the availability of these tests. Testing has been something that we've been talking about from the beginning of this pandemic. To have more testing is to have more knowledge, and that's a good thing. Hopefully, the supplies will finally meet up with our needs, because that's been another issue with the testing, is we haven't had the supplies that we've needed. They're all on ships off the coast of San Diego still. So hopefully everybody out there is staying safe and keeping vigilant and doing all the things that you're doing and getting out and seeing people all at the same time. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
Great. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call or text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Jack Frost.
We'll see you in the future. Spread some beet juice on Chip.